Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Spirit Alive Ministries Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Apostle Shalene Cook, and it blesses my soul to welcome you all here once again to Wounded No More for this Thursday, September 28th, 2023. Now, my brothers and sisters, I pray that you get something to write with and to write on. Retrieve your Bibles and prepare to hear from your anointed teacher, Pastor Vanessa Carver. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Apostle Cook, and welcome everybody to Spirit Alive family and everybody globally. We thank you for joining us once again. This is has been a really good time to teach this. Remember, we are talking about mental illness, we're talking about mental wellness, and we're talking about mental wholeness. We're not going to talk about one without the other. There's three aspects to this, and I am doing my best to address all three every time I present. Tonight, we're going to be talking about the servant leaders and those three issues, those three aspects of mental illness, health, and wellness, and wholeness. And this is near and dear to my heart. This is where this subject started many years ago, probably in 2015 and 2016 is when it was a manifestation of what God put on my heart as I was praying for servant leaders was the struggle. I think that was one of the first years that, if I can remember, it may have been maybe a couple years before that in 2016 where we started to hear about suicides in the body of Christ. And overdoses in the body of Christ. And these are with leaders, amongst the leaders. And it was shocking at first. But as everything in this society and in this culture, we get used to things. We get conditioned to hearing things. And in some ways, it makes us become more, I guess you could say, hard and less sensitive to these aspects. I was devastated hearing this. It messed with me in so many ways. But it confirmed some things as well. What I would see in the body of Christ among servant leaders, what I struggled with myself as a servant leader with mental health and mental illness, depression, anxiety. There's all kinds of different types of things that we talked about on this show for the last month about mental illness. And I saw all those different things manifested, trauma, PTSD. I saw those things manifest around me with other leaders, not just with me, because the more I studied this topic, the more I was like, wow. So you don't always hear or people don't talk about mental illness or even suicide in the same faith, let's just say faith and mental illness or faith and suicide in the same sentence. And yet it's going on, and it has not stopped, unfortunately. And so this is where I'm coming from. I want to share one scenario, one story before I go into my material. I was in a session probably, let me see, it was either probably a year after I had did a small series on Facebook Live called Taking Care of a Servant's Heart. In 2017, I went through training with a group about mental health awareness, and we were trained for 3 days about suicide prevention. And at every session, at the beginning of every session, we would have a round table. And there were people from all walks of life, many of us, you know, some of us were clergy, some of us, some people were just teachers, youth leaders, things of that nature. Everybody wasn't a Christian. And I was asked by the leader, the facilitator, once he found out I was clergy, which everybody had to tell who they were or why they were there, and I told them why, and he put me on the spot. Now, here is a man who had lost a son to suicide. And he was still struggling with his faith. He was struggling with his issue, you know, God and all of that. And he said, I had heard that suicide is a sin, and probably was conflicted about was his son going to be in the afterlife in heaven or in hell, because I guess some people had told him no. And I was speechless, and there were people around me. There was a lady on my left and a man that was two seats over on my right who came to my rescue later, and I'll tell you how that happened. I said, I don't think suicide is about what we think it is. I think it's about let the pain stop. So I tried to answer the best I could, and I addressed his son and his heart. And he said how he had went to a church and he got hands laid on him, and they encircled him and laid hands on him because of the level of his grief about losing his son to suicide. And the woman on the left, who was also a clergy, came in and said, I'm not going to let him jump on you like that. I'm not going to let him. So she gave her opinion about what it was and why that happened, and based on people's faith and things like that. And everybody did a good job. And so did the man who was two chairs down from me, who had two parents overdose, basically commit suicide as a child. He had gone through that, and now he was a minister as well as an addiction counselor. So you have to understand how this impacts our community, because it does impact us in the body of Christ, whether we realize it or not. And some of us have, I think the lady on my left said her mother killed herself, and she was a clergy, so she's dealt with it. You don't know what people are dealing with. You don't know what level of things they've been exposed to as it pertains to this subject. And so this is my heart. This is why God is dealing with me and has dealt with me on this level, about the level of shame, guilt, isolation that many of our servant leaders find themselves in. And I want to look at this practically, because sometimes we over-spiritualize a lot of stuff. Yes, the word is important. Yes, the word is more than our worldview. It's how we live our lives. That is not just a self-help manual for us. It is alive and it's living and it's active. So, of course, I do reference the scriptures, but I do also believe that with your faith, and with what you know practically, which is why I'm teaching these series, is so that we can get informed. I'm going to start with the word of prayer. I prayed before we got on, and I thank God for Apostle Cook praying, but I also want to clear the airways as well. And we want to announce and declare the agenda of God, you know, in this program. So, Father God, I just thank you right now that you speak powerfully through me. Lord, you are more than welcome here. And I thank you, Lord, today that I believe you've already been here, and you know that what needs to be spoken and how people need to hear you through me, that your presence, Lord, will make people feel empowered, enabled, Father God, be at peace and feel equipped to do whatever they need to do, whether it's for themselves or for someone else that they're ministering to. I bless you and I thank you, Lord, today for your love for us and everything that you empower us to do, and for your grace and your peace. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
So when I started to study this in more detail, because every year I get like a bunch of books and I study different topics. And so every year I add to my library about all kinds of different topics because I want to be informed. I want to be able to go to the throne of God when I pray with scripture as well as with an understanding of the areas of the soul, like your soul as it pertains to your will, your mind, and your emotions, and how it can get out of whack. You know, our spirit is saving, and this is about the saving of our soul, which is progressive sanctification. So we always have to be able to address these areas. One of the things I want to quote is from a book called Transforming Pain by Father Richard Burrell, and he said, healers who have fully faced their wounds are the only ones who heal anyone else, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a simple statement, but it's profound at the same time. And I've always believed in this. Principally, I believe, because God told me, he said, the only way you're going to be able to be effective in ministry is to make sure that you are healed. Make sure that you're not walking in a place of dysfunction. And I do know that even on this program, on Spirit Alive Network, when I would hear Apostle Cook or Apostle Zeta teach about certain themes, one of the things that she taught last week, Apostle Zeta, was about, you know, just making sure that you examine yourself. And as healers and leaders and pastors and evangelists and prophets and teachers and apostles, we have to make sure that we're allowing the Lord to heal us of our wounds, because these wounds usually will manifest in some level of mental illness and dis-ease and dysfunction.
Ease, yeah.
We'll see it whether we want to see it or not. we will see it. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many awesome examples in the New Testament of Jesus, how he knew how to go and take rest. He knew how to get away from the crowds. He knew how to go to sleep when he needed to go to sleep. He knew how to make sure his body, his soul, and his spirit, those things were taken care of, so that the overwhelming of the weight of the ministry was not going to crush him. The example of the Garden of Gethsemane is a very, very good example. It's one of the best ones, I think, because there's so many components in there where he was depressed, you could say. He was overwhelmed in the areas of his soul with the weight of what he had to do, but he didn't give himself room to not do it. It was going to be done. God had to really help him and remind him who he was, and I think that we all deal with that. So one of the things is that I want to come out of this series is that those in our own walk, whether it's in our home, and if we may have a brick and mortar church that we're a part of or that we contribute to or some level of ministry, even on our job, that we begin to create safe spaces and safe places for people. So in ministry. I know that maybe many of us, maybe or some of us have at least one person we know that's a pastor or used to be a pastor or a missionary or an evangelist. Somebody in our life that we know that it has served or is serving now. And it doesn't mean we look for a needle in a haystack. We're looking for something to be wrong with them. Maybe it's us. You know, ourselves, we're in a place of serving, and we have to be able to create places of safe places and safe spaces. So what I mean by places is a confidant, somebody that knows they can come to you or you can come to them, somebody you may know that you can talk to about your pressures. You may even have a therapist if that's what you want to do, but that's what I mean about a safe place. For me, it's my husband. And then I have a best friend because I know that's a man of God and I know she's a woman of God. I can go talk to my mom. So I have several spaces or places that I can go, right? And I thank God for that, but that didn't happen overnight. Let me tell you, I was really quick to hide and isolate when I was going through mental things. As a mom of six children, it was easy to stuff, if you will. It was easy to isolate. It was easy to deflect because I had a lot of things on my plate. And so I had to learn there's nothing healthy about this. You've learned this and you need to unlearn it. And safe spaces means that there's got to be something internally that you just shut down. You need to know when to rest. You need to know, do I need to journal? You need to know, do I need to fast and pray? Do I need to some time for consecration? You need to be able to minister to yourself as well and listen to the Lord in that place. Just the other day, God was dealing with me about making time and space for him. You know, that's part of my self-care. I have to make time for God, not because it's an obligation or checking a box. It's because it's crucial to me being all that he needs me to be and me being okay with myself and everything that I do. That's a place of peace, and many times it's just a place of rest. It's just a place to say, I'm here at your feet. I don't want anything. This is a place where I worship and adoration, where I pour out to you because I don't have words. Amen. And so we need to get used to being in that place and it not being drawn to that place when something is wrong. It should just be part of our discipline. It should be a daily discipline. And that makes me think of casting our cares, right? And that's a really good scripture that we use a lot. Cast your burden on the Lord. Release the weight of it. He will sustain you. He will never allow the consistently righteous to be moved, made to slip, fall, or fail. And in the Hebrew, that word means to not die. You shall not die. You shall not be overcome, you know. You will be sustained. You have to cast your burden on the Lord repeatedly. And that casting, when I looked up this word study that I was doing on that word, doesn't necessarily mean throw. It just means consistently surround yourself and with his presence. Give him the weight of the responsibility. You have the responsibility. God enables you to, and it says consistently righteous. So most of the time, what I'm talking about tonight is the burden of ministry, the burden of wherever it may be. It may be family, because family is ministry, as we know. And as Bishop Apostle Cook has said, it's also boot camp. So it can be the way, it's ministry boot camp, she said. It really can, your family. And so you're going to need to not be overwhelmed. You need to learn how to give the weight of what you can't do and are not supposed to be doing, to be honest.
Amen. Yeah.
And we need to learn the difference between that. And I think that's what creates the issues. In prayer, many times the Lord will reveal to you the things that you can handle, and he'll help you, but you got to do it this way. And then there's some things that he'll say, I didn't tell you to pick that up in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
But you did without consulting me. And so now you're lopsided. Y'all going to laugh at this, but there's something that I did when I was 7 months pregnant, and I forget what baby it was, but I wanted Lester to, and this was way before, you know, we were in ministry consistently, but we were, we lived in a townhouse, and I wanted him to move a TV for me. Now, you know, back then, TVs weren't as light as they are now, right? And I remember he was like, I'll move it. And, you know, as we wives sometimes get impatient, I wanted it done already. So I just asked him a couple times. He said, I'll do it. And he never did. So I picked it up and did it myself at 7 months pregnant. And I remember he came into the room and he said, did you move that TV? And he just looked at me and he said, why did you do that? And I was like, because I was sick of waiting for you. And I remember God used that analogy to show me just because we can do it doesn't mean we have any business doing it, yes. Picking it up.
Yes. Amen.
And so that has to do with our burdens and the things that we pick up because we can, not because God said, I really had no business doing that at 7 months pregnant. And see, that's what the stubbornness will do. We will pick up things that we are not. I wasn't built to be picking up that TV at 7 months pregnant, but I did it. And so God said, just because you did it didn't mean you should have been doing it. And so he let me know right there, and he would bring that analogy back from time to time, even after I was done having kids, to let me know to learn how to cast my burden on him, to learn how to be courageous and not be prideful and lay those things at his feet and leave them there. You know, and this not doing that will create this mental illness, this unbalance, this instability that I'm talking about. And so many times what also happens is with the stigma that comes with mental illness, it creates isolation. It creates this internalization that goes on. And we have to create that safe space where we can deal with the doubt and differences and questions and, you know, even saying, you know, I shouldn't have picked that up. Why did I do that? The guilt, the shame, maybe just owning your mistakes so that you're not internalizing them. And because what you find is that you start having a lot of anxiety and restlessness, and then you realize it becomes so bad to where you can't sleep, where you maybe at sometimes realize it's just overwhelming, you have disruptive thoughts, you can't shut them down. That's because of all this stuff going on. You have not been casting your cares. You have responsibilities. You have burdens that God gave you. But you need to learn how to cast them on here. You need to learn what that looks like for you. Not for somebody else, but for you.
Ooh. That is so
right. Which means
so
it opens up a door for you to get really close to the Lord and ask him how to manage your life, how to manage the things that he told you to do. And a lot of times, if there's a book, if there's a training, if there's a weekend or something, I need to go to this conference, then I'll learn how to do what God told me to do. Those are all well and fine. I'm not against those. But the first and foremost, that should trump all those decisions And all those different, you know, activities should be the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So that by
Amen.
The time you go to the conferences and the trainings and the books and the things like that, it'll just be confirmation, you know, and maybe a structure that God gave you a long time ago to be more structured. And you're like, you know what? God gave me this. He told me. So thank God for somebody writing that book that put it all in one place. So thank God for that conference I went to that just, you know, empowered me and gave me energy. And we were all of one mind and it just strengthened me. But you have to learn what that looks like for you. Those are not bad. Don't get me wrong. But a lot of times we put those things before our sacred time before the Lord where we have our pen and our paper and sometimes our recorder and we're just listening to what God is saying to us, however it is. Or he says, I don't want you to be writing while I'm talking. I want you to just lay here and be still.
Yes.
That will help us as well. And so we have to learn as a community in the body of Christ to get rid of this stigma of mental illness. And there's so many different things that we can address when it comes to this, but the stigma is still there. It's not just in different communities. It is in the body of Christ too. But what the good thing is what I'm finding is across the board, different ministries are starting to be more intentional about targeting this in their ministry. It's not just a fly-by-night program or topic or week or month. They incorporate this in their function and their faculty and everything they do. And it's important to always keep it there. So I think that's important. And that's how one of the ways is we have to, I'm going to go more in detail about how to get rid of the stigma. But maybe you realize that even in your family or maybe in your community or your job, On a level, you can get rid of this stigma of mental illness when you talk about people that are serving, that are Christians, and the things that they deal with and the pressure that they're up under. And this level of false expectation culture and cancel culture and all the different things that affect us, we should not be taking our references from social media or from the culture that we live in. But it creates, for many leaders, this false expectation of trying to be great or trying to, you know, be busy all the time and not really resting. And what is it looking like I'm doing versus what I'm really doing? Or am I biting off more than I can chew? Or am I so far from God that all I'm really doing is checking the box, but I got all this other stuff going on? Meanwhile, my brain is separated from my spirit. My soul is broken. It's all over the place. And I got to put on a big smiley face every time you see me. My marriage is tore up because somebody is mentally not together. And behind the scenes, nobody sees that. Or it just could be a plethora of so many things that we're looking at. And we have to be insightful and be able to look at it. You know, even in Psalms 32, this scripture, which is really good, it says, blessed and happy and fortunate is the man to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Right? Don't deceive yourself. Don't deceive yourself where you are versus where you know you should be. Remove the shame. First of all, confront the shame. Confront the guilt for whatever reason. And stop giving it so much power because God wants you to be well. And you know what? Shame and guilt have a language. So if you look at shame and guilt as a fence that you are inside of, everything and anything that comes from those references of shame and guilt is not going to be truth of what's really going on and what really can happen for you as a minister and a servant of God. So if you know you're dealing with shame and guilt, and because of that, most people do isolate when they're struggling mentally. They haven't slept in weeks, or they're struggling with addiction because of this. And usually mental illness and addiction go together. I want you to be empowered and know that God wants you to be well and you can find a safe place. you got to confront and ask, and sometimes you have to have a buddy or somebody you can talk to help you confront the guilt and the shame. Talk you through it. You may need to get a therapist just to get through the guilt and shame. You know, Jesus died on the cross to free us from guilt and shame, which was introduced to us in the Garden of Eden. So it follows us. But we are empowered through the Holy Spirit. So if we submit to the Holy Spirit, so we have to realize that these are the things that come and chase you down. But don't self-deceive yourself. You know, don't deceive yourself into thinking that I'm okay when you know you're not, and you haven't been for a while. So at the same time, when I talk about mental illness, we all have had different bouts. Like, when we were talking about depression a couple of weeks ago, there's different types of depression. Some people have long-term depression that lasts for, you know, years, and then they do good for a year, and then they situational, you know, circumstantial depression comes back on them again, and they're heavy again. These are all a part of life. These are the things that we go through. I even think that because of ministry, when we deal with the level of depression, that may be a level of suffering that we go through, is not going to be the means to an end. It's not going to always be what you go through. So you have to take away a little bit of that power and say, I'm going to get through this. I am depressed. Don't deny that you are depressed. Don't deny that you might be having suicidal ideation or that you have anxiety or any of these things that I was talking about, PTSD. First of all, don't deny it, but take the power back and begin to declare over yourself to begin with, I got to stop giving this stuff so much power because of who I am in Christ. But don't deny that you're going through those things. And ask the Lord to help you. Cry out for yourself. And if you can't, tell somebody and they'll cry out for you. I've had it happen. I didn't have the strength to even cry out for myself for years because I didn't know half the time what was wrong with me. I just knew something wasn't right. And I also felt I didn't have time to address. I ain't got time for that. When you're busy, even in ministry, especially in ministry, and you have a lot of responsibility, you'll tell yourself that. I don't got time to be dealing with this. I don't. I know I'm not okay, but I'll figure it out. Or like I did, pick up the TV anyway because I know I can do it. You ain't supposed to be doing it, you know? So we have to be honest about how we react to stress. That has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. It has to do with maybe our personality type, you know, or whatever the case may be. But it's going to shower and take away the power that the Holy Spirit has. So you can't lean to your own understanding, and you got to learn how to trust God in this place. 45% of church leaders deal with or are diagnosed with mental illness. And when I found that statistic, you know, it's from Lifeway Research, I was not shocked. And I think based upon when those statistics were presented, they may be a little bit higher now. And it's not surprising at all. Mm-hmm. And it lets me know, Lord, we are missing the boat. We're not doing, something is off. You know what I mean? That it's that high, but I believe it's probably higher than that now. And I think we need to remember about the grace of God that is given to us and an ability to do everything that we need to do. Like I said before, doing things in your own strength, right? Leaning to your own understanding, not trusting God can sometimes lead to it. But then sometimes in your family, when we talked about the different causes of mental illness, sometimes these things are released in your family. There's things generationally that you're dealing with that maybe your mom or your grandmother or somebody else dealt with, and all of a sudden in the middle, inconveniently comes up in the middle of your ministry assignments and things that you have to do, this little ugly thing comes up. And you're wondering, where did this mess come from? I want you to be empowered to deal with it and don't deny it. I pray, and I keep hearing the Lord say that don't be in denial about what you're dealing with and get some help, even if that means you just call up one of your closest friends in ministry and talk to them or journal, or maybe get on the phone tomorrow morning and call a health professional and talk to them. Because it doesn't get, you know, the enemy is powerful by the things that are hidden. He has more power if things are covered up. Exposure will slow it down and sometimes shut it all the way down. So we have to, don't hide. And don't feel like you, and I understand why people do hide, because of the stigma that comes along with this, with mental illness. So we have to cast our cares. We have to realize that when we're suffering, we need to get in a place of prayer. If anyone, it's like in James 5, 13 through 14, it says, is anyone among you afflicted, ill-treated, suffering, evil? He should pray. Is anyone glad at heart? He should sing praises to God. Is anyone among you sick? He should call on all the church elders, the spiritual guides in the church, and they should pray over him, anointing him. So there may be a time where one of the things you can do, I don't believe this is the fix-all. I don't. And I'm being very honest about this. Going up and getting prayer, there's nothing wrong with that. Prayer is powerful. But if you find yourself doing it every week that you go to church for the same thing and you still struggling or sometimes worse, you need to pick another option. You still tormented? You still depressed? Some of these things, prayer in conjunction with therapy, prayer in conjunction with a support group, or maybe in some cases medication, if need be, will help. I believe it. I believe God uses many things to help us get to the other side. We don't know the level of what people are dealing with. And I just want you to be encouraged. This is practical talk, because there's things that we can immediately do after we hear this. And the level of transparency in our communities, in the body of Christ, is so important. You know, if there's so many different ranges of mental illness and things that we will be talking about in the next couple of weeks as well, because of how it shows up in our families and how it shows up in, you know, our communities, that we just need to be well-versed on, from autism to people dealing with PTSD because of war, because of trauma that they've dealt with, because of the color of their skin, because of their gender. There's different things that people deal with. And so we need to know what that looks like. And I do believe that we're not going to become experts, because I'm no expert. But even to be in a place where you go to a training, take an online class, I've done it twice for different things. It's available. I did it through my ministry at one point, and then I did it on my own two or three times. And it was well worth it. And this is why I feel like it just made me more sensitive to the things that were going around me and the things that I had gone through. I could recognize it in myself, and I can recognize it in others. And it just really empowered me and equipped me for addressing this thing that no one talks about. Still, even to this day, in some ministries, this is not talked about. We may demonize it a lot. And sometimes that may be appropriate, but it's, most of the time it's not. We have people going to church service on Sunday and having psychotic breaks on Monday. Okay? So we, and I mean that, where they are actually hospitalized for weeks. And these are the people that we just saw last week. And all they know is, I came to church, I got prayed for, and couldn't sleep last night, and I'm running in the street and don't know where I am. So we have to understand that this is something that breaks God's heart. When we, as the body of Christ, are not informed and equipped to do something, because we can make a difference. And everybody's not going to come to church to get to find out something about mental illness. There are people that you're going to deal with on a daily basis. And I think on one of the first shows that people were on here ministering and talking about different people that they encountered at the bus stop and neighbors and different things of seeing how this plays out. But one of the things I want to mention is the ability for us to be the facilitator of a healing and a healthy place, a place of restoration. And, excuse me. In our ministries, because I know it's available. We're going to also talk about self-care real quick as well. Actually, I'm going to do a show where we're going to go more deeper into self-care as it pertains to our mental health and what that looks like. The reason why the body of Christ is so important when it comes to this issue is it offers four things to the healthcare system that the healthcare system lacks, actually. The body of Christ is a place where we can have hope that transcends all the circumstances that these people are going through. They also, because we have a holistic view of the person, the spirit, soul, and body. We have accessibility, and there usually is some level or some cohesiveness of support. Hope that fuels and drives the engine of mental health recovery. You know, when we talk about suicide, right, a lot of times this has come up or we come up with a sentiment when we see so much hate and so much violence, hopelessness. And one of the things in Christ that the church has really got on lock is the hope offered by the mental health care system is the reduction of the illness and illness management. That's the hope that the mental health community offers. But the church offers and understands that hope is more than a feeling. Hope is in Christ. And hope in Christ, it transcends all the circumstances and sustains us when the world around us sees situations as hopeless. The hopelessness is why we see a lot of violence and lawlessness and suicide. We also are people that are struggling with mental health. They need a holistic approach, not just make the symptoms go away, but what is the root of the symptoms. So we do deal with the spiritual and relational and physical part of this, of mental wellness. Treatments and interventions that focus solely on a single aspect of the person's issue, it's a limited leap. It's not one swoop doesn't work for everybody, right? And so we were able to address the person on a personal level and begin to deal with their spiritual growth and about them finding purpose. There's so many aspects in the body of Christ or in our ministries that we are starting to see be developed as a holistic ministry. Even in the church that I used to attend, the wife of the head minister, she started a exercise program. She would have us, and that's a part of self-care, and that's also part of our relationship. We would all do it together, and it wasn't anybody necessarily trying to lose weight, but we were all just exercising, and it was so fun, and she would stretch us and make us do certain things and wear us out, but it was part of that person as a spirit, soul, and body, and that affects you mentally when you are not dealing with the repercussions of how you feel in your body, because usually mental illness will develop in all kinds of ways, from arthritis to upper respiratory problems. It manifests in your body physically. And so when us exercising was a way that she was finding to address a need that she saw in the body of Christ. It wasn't about weight gain or losing weight. It was more about being healthy and being strong and vital and energized. And that was really powerful. That was her ministry. That was one of the things she did. Third is accessibility is perhaps the biggest problem with our ministries right now. But imagine what would happen if the churches were equipped to effectively serve as front doors to mental care instead of going to the local clinic or having to be checked into, a 72-hour facility. That's the only way you really get evaluated these days, or going to the emergency room. But if the churches were set up that way, What if churches were equipped not only to be effective front doors, but also places where there were peer-led mental health services were available? These services would not replace, they wouldn't replace the mental health care, but instead would serve as an adjunct to these resources. I love that. And I think there's some churches in our city that are doing that, that have done that. And then the support aspect is a necessary factor in successful mental health recovery. Churches need to offer individuals and their families an accepting and supportive environment. This is very important. So this is one of the ways we kill the stigma in which they can pursue healing and wholeness. It's called to love one another. This is a loving one another type of initiative, is to deal with the mental health community and to educate. There should be corporate and collaborative relationships with the mental health community where they come in and they teach and they train. And I was a part of a program like that. But you know what? We shouldn't wait till we hear about another suicide.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I believe that this has to be with those churches that have this as a burden to be incorporated. Or you may say, my church doesn't offer this, but I know a church that does, and I'm going to go there. Not to join their church, but just to, we need to use those resources as well because they're here.
Yeah.
And I think that because there is a need, don't feel like you have to go to that church to be able to take advantage of those opportunities. And I think a lot of that happens too. We need to take care of our leaders. We need to think mm-hmm. about the people that, I think one of the suicides that I heard about many years ago, this blew my mind even more. This minister, he was a minister, he was a pastor, but he also was over their mental health program. Can you believe that? And he killed himself. That's
Dear Jesus.
That's fan of life. And so as you see, I believe God has put watchmen on the wall, people that are going to be praying about this issue specifically, and they're not going to stop until God says different.
That's
but not just praying, but they will be an instrumental part, moment by moment, hour by hour, based on the need to be able to pray and to be able to be used. And I believe I'm one of those people.
Mm-hmm.
And so however God uses me to disciple, educate, train, pray, intercede, fast, I will be doing that until God says different. This is a part of what God has led me to do. And I feel blessed and privileged to do this for the Spirit Alive Network. I've done this for another ministry that I was a part of.
Amen.
And I know
Amen.
That this Thank issue
you,
is near
you.
And dear to Bishop Cook's heart as well.
Yes.
And I just thank God for this. And I want to end this by praying for our servant leaders. This is a loaded topic, and I know that Apostle Cook had us pray for servant leaders last week on this prayer, on the prayer line, on taking it to the streets. And before I got on the show tonight, I prayed. I just said, God, you be with me, and thank you for showing up on the show. And then but one of the things I heard God say in my prayer was that there are those that have stepped away from ministry because of their mental health issues.
Yes.
They have totally said, I'm not doing this. I'm not equipped for this. They've drawn away, and they're not taking care of them. So they didn't leave ministry so they could take care of it. They just left ministry, period, and they're not taking care
That's
of themselves.
Right.
They're not taking care. So he showed me that component. He said they didn't step away to rest. They didn't step away to take care of themselves. They stepped away because they were ashamed because of what they were dealing with.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And so my heart, which is God's heart, is for those people. And that's what I want to pray before the show is over, because if I can pray this without being in tears, I will do my best.
Amen. Bless you. Bless you, Pastor.
Because I truly believe it's God that is crying. I think it's his heart
Yes, yes.
Because all these right. people are suffering, and for whatever reason, they are isolating themselves or have isolated themselves, and their self-worth is like at zero. So, Father God, I bless you. I bless you, and I thank you, Lord, for these people all over the world, because I don't believe it's just stateside. I believe it's globally. They're just speaking to their hearts and their spirits right now, Lord, to
yes.
be still and know that you are God and that you love them and that they're not alone. And that whatever
yes,
they're dealing
yes.
with, whether it's schizophrenia, whether it's depression, whether it's PTSD, whether it's depression, whether it's even suicide, Lord, that you are there.
Yes.
Even in the darkness,
yes.
you are there, and you are the light. And I thank you, Lord, today that you open up the eyes of their understanding and revive hope in them, only the hope that is in you. I thank you, Lord, today that they be resurrected from their depression. That they get in
yes,
a place, Father
Lord.
God, where they just have just enough strength to cry out, just enough strength to ask for help,
yeah.
just enough strength to pick up that phone,
yes.
just enough
Come
strength
on.
To open up that Bible, just enough strength mm-hmm. to say, play that worship music, just enough strength to
yes.
write, just
right.
enough strength
yes.
to get on their knees.
Hallelujah.
Just
yes,
enough
Lord.
Strength to look in the mirror and say, this is the last time I'm going to struggle with this by myself. I pray, Lord, with all my might, because of all your might, Father God, that they be released and be set free,
yes,
that they have ears
Jesus.
To hear what you're saying. This isn't me. This is you saying this to me. This is a call, a clarion call, an alarm for them to take
yes,
off the
Lord.
Shackles of this. Issue that they're
yes.
dealing with.
Yes, yes,
yes.
I just want
Lord Jesus.
You to know that God loves you more than you can understand. It's an
yes.
everlasting, violent love that He has for you. That will nothing and nothing will separate. Nothing that you're going through separates you from His love. Nothing you are going through.
Hallelujah,
or have
Jesus.
Been through.
Thank you. Thank
will separate
you, Lord.
You
thank
from
you,
his love. So I just thank you, Lord, because I feel the ease. I feel clear in praying this.
Yes.
I know somebody heard it. I know that they will respond. And I know, Lord, today that you're mending broken pieces in them right now, wherever they may be. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Well, my brothers and sisters, the woman of God has brought us a whole lot of power and information. Now, if you are sitting in the chat rooms, or if you're in the studio, you're even via your computer, honey, you can get off that computer and you can call in at 714-364-4337. Hallelujah. If you have, if you would like to ask Pastor Vanessa any questions, because you can hear her heart, and it is God's heart. And we do care about the whole man here at Spirit Alive, and we always have, and we always will. And we do have some Spirit Alive family in the house. So if they would like to have a word or to ask a question or to touch and agree with Pastor Vanessa, we have Mother Mitchell and Bishop Carver in the house. Because all I can say, I'm going to say for tonight is, my dear sister, amen, yes, amen, yes, and I concur on every point. Mother Mitchell, did you have a comment?
Yes, I do. Everything you said, Pastor Vanessa, touched my heart, because I've been going through some things, and I've been praying and praying and praying about them. And, you know, I got so ingrained in somebody else's mental health that it started making me mentally and physically ill. And now I'm trying to work out with the Lord and leave it to the Lord to help them, because I have been at it for a while and it's not doing any good. It just keeps getting worse and getting worse, and I'm not helping them. And I was praying about it on a certain day, and I heard the Lord say to me, "Stop, one word, stop." He said, "Stop. This is not doing you or them any good. So stop." You know, I had a similar situation. My son put my little freezer out on my back porch when I moved out here. And I had been asking for help to move my freezer. My son would run down. He didn't have time. Other people would come out. They didn't have time. You know, with back problems, you got to be so careful. It's kind of like being 7 months pregnant. And but yesterday, day before yesterday, I got so tired of walking out my back door, and it was starting to rain again. Winter's coming on again. I said, I am not going to let this sit out here in this weather not one more day. I pushed and shoved and pulled and hauled. My little deep freezer is sitting in my second dining room in there. I said, you know, Lord, I thank you. Sometimes we just have to stop waiting on other people. Now, it wasn't the right thing to do for my back or my legs, but you know what? I got it done, and that's because God allowed me to get it done.
Yeah,
I could have done it on my own. You have to go to the Lord with everything, people. Take it to the Lord,
yes,
and
Lord.
Listen to him and do what he tells you to do.
Amen. Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Hallelujah.
And thank
Pastor
Vanessa. You are always so right on the money, and you just touch my spirit. You touch my heart so deeply, and I thank you that you're here for us.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Thank you, Mother Mitchell. God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you, man. God bless you, Mother Mitchell, for your transparency. Bishop Lester, did you have a comment or on tonight?
Praise the Lord, Apostle Cook. You know, that was a wonderful presentation. It was a wonderful teaching. And I believe that people need to learn how to wait on the Lord. We have to look at Jesus Christ's example. I love the part about you citing Jesus Christ's behavior in the Garden of Gethsemane before he was about to be crucified, and how he was dealing with the reality of the weight of what he was about to endure. And he asked to be relieved, but then ultimately said, "Not my will, but thy will, O God, be done." And when he submitted to God's will, and God's non-response was a no, when he said, is there any way for this cup to be removed from me? And he received it and said, not my will, but thy will. We have to get to the point where we release our will and we subject ourselves to the will of God and just say yes.
Amen.
The other thing is, if God tells us in Proverbs 3:5-6, he says, trust in me with all your heart and lean not on understanding. You know what?
Let
your own understanding. When you think things are so impossible, I'll tell you, we had something recently where I had all this work, and this happens a lot of times. There are a lot of things you know need to be done, but then it's inspection time for whatever, or the deadline shows up, and you know everything can't get done. God will say, look, give it to me. He'll either tell you don't do anything or do what you can, but don't try to be Superman and kill yourself trying to do everything.
Yes.
And that
is
your own understanding.
There it is.
When God says, love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, part of loving God is trusting God. It's giving God that burden. It's not trying to pick that thing up because you think you need to do it now. That's you leaning to your own understanding. And you'll hurt your back, and you'll hurt other people, and you'll hurt yourself. God is saying, trust me and leave it alone. Take your hands off of it.
There it is.
You know,
don't worry about it.
Yes.
God tells us, he tells us, look, it is not okay to have a form of godliness and deny the power.
By the sword. Come on, come on.
Within you.
Take it out of power.
The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. I was talking with this guy from Haiti, who was a Lyft driver, who was telling me why they're so impressed by the people who do voodoo in Haiti is because literally raising the dead with devil spirits. So they got devil spirits animating people who die. Okay? We call them those movies about zombies, right? A zombie is a real thing. It's a dead person possessed by a devil spirit that is animated, okay? And there are people who know how to do those things, right? Well, we have the power to raise people from the dead, heal the sick, make the blind see, cause the lame to walk. We have that power. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is in us. We need to stop denying the power within us and get to work, okay? And then if there's something that people need to do, rise to the level of faith that they need to be at in order to walk in that power, you know, by all means. If you're in counseling, if you're in medication, on medication, if you're whatever you're dealing with, Don't stop what you're dealing with, but let's get to the power so that people can really be made free. I'm watching this show called The Chosen now, and it's talking about those who are walking Christ.
Yes.
And it's such a blessing because what I see is they have real-life dilemmas. There's one disciple who had an affliction, and Jesus Christ is healing all these other people, and he's talking to the other disciples about how he feels bad about, you know, he knows, Jesus knows he has this affliction, and they're not like, well, why isn't he just healing you? Well, you know, there's the appointed time for everything. And so a lot of times trying to get to us is not just the deliverance from an affliction. It's a whole bunch of other stuff that comes from the waiting. From the praying, from the
man,
from the believing, right?
Amen.
God is saying, look, don't lose your own understanding. Stop being an impatient child and grow up in the Lord, mature, and learn to endure and just trust me that at the appointed time, I will exalt you. God says, humble yourself, and then I will exalt you at the appointed time. What that means is wait. And my next teaching on Tuesday is going to be on waiting on the Lord, because a lot of times that's really what we have to learn how to do. That's part of trusting God. Just because you don't now doesn't mean you're not going to be healed. It just means that you need to wait. Patiently.
Yeah.
And don't people throw labels on you. Don't let people fill you with drugs that create a bigger problem for you. Begin to walk in the power that you have. And I know it sounds like saying two things, but really we're just saying be real. And when I watch The Chosen, I say, you know what? That's a real show. That's a real set of
stories.
You see a doctor who was behind him to cast out spirits, and he didn't have the power or authority to do so, right? But then you see when the one who had power and authority to do so did it. And then you also see how his disciples did it later on, right? Well, that's where we are. We have that power within us now. The same power that's in you is the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. We need to get to work and people will be delivered. But when you hear our heart to deliver people, when you hear our heart to restore people, when you hear our heart to comfort people, when you hear our heart to encourage people, it's because we have the answer. And people come to us, the power that we're putting on side of the power of the devil is greater. And we have to know that and remember that. So I'm just going to leave. I did not intend to say all that tonight, but I think it needs to be said. And I think that Pastor Vanessa is giving people the ability to look at where they are and deal with where they are in a way that gets them past their circumstances and allows them to embrace the promise of God that's right before them right now. Thank you, Apostle Cook.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, you're so welcome, and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well said. And just, you know, again, as servant leaders, I've had training in this area, but I can't get enough because as time goes on, we're going to see people stressed, overwhelmed, distraught, diswrought, and I know that Pastor Vanessa is going to be talking about relative depression, you know, is due to what's being brought on. And I'm just so thankful to you, Pastor Vanessa, that, you know, not only are you giving in some areas some refresher, in other areas you are taking it deeper, and it is so needed. And I'm just appealing to every servant leader out there, you know, please, if you don't have a program or this is not a regular part of your ministry, we pray that you will pray about making it so, because so many people come amongst us, and we need to be able to recognize and to be that, as I love what you, how you said it, Pastor Vanessa, we need to be the door. We need to be, you know, like she said, not taking the place of the mental health system, but we need to be a safe place. We need to be that place where they can come and have hope, and they can begin to maybe even realize that they need to talk to somebody, or, you know, or they need that they even understand what's going on inside of them. So once again, Pastor Vanessa, I just want to thank you. I cannot wait until next time. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I just thank, you know, because it really is effective. You hear the effectiveness. You hear the transformation, and the people are being transformed. People are, you know, coming into an understanding, and that's what it's all about. That's what real discipleship is all about. So I am just blessed by this program. And I want to thank you, Pastor Vanessa. I want to thank Mother Mitchell and Bishop Lester Carver for your wonderful comments and your transparency and your realness. So on behalf of Pastor Vanessa and all of us here at Spirit Alive, we pray that you will continue to have a beautiful and blessed weekend, and that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And from your household, our household, to yours, excuse me, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you from all of us here at Wounded No More and the Spirit Alive Network. Good job, Pastor Vanessa. Just absolutely
beautiful. Thank you, Apostle Cook.
Good
night, everybody. God bless.
Good night.
Love you, Pastor Vanessa.
Love you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.